bet on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn still fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Time has come, gonna take a stand. Spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea. Don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. This is the second hour of Your Defending Fathers with Chuck and Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Losing my voice already. Got to go get some hot tea and lemon and honey. But we'll get through this short segment. Bottom line, Tim Kelly, the House State Representative, has been involved in education a long time, dating all the way back to education trenches, back to the John Engler administration. Republicans in the House think that the schools should be making their own choices at the local level. If categoricals are not getting us to the point we want to be, then we have to start doing things differently. Bringing up free breakfast, free lunches. Democrats, of course, worried about the stigma of disadvantaged low-income children getting free meals. Well, the representative countered. If a local school district wants to have the option for kids to pay for lunches, pay for breakfasts or not, or they find a way to do it cheaper, let them bank the difference. If they don't want to deal with the problem, the issue, they want the kids to get the free breakfast, free lunches, that choice is up to them. These type of ideas go all the way back to John Engler's administration, where they concluded that schools at the local level are better prepared to make those decisions on the ground in their areas. Got a very wealthy school district, for example, let's say Petoskey, Traverse City. If those parents don't want their kids to get free meals, they'll pay for them or they'll provide them for their kids. Leave it up to the local districts to figure it out. Bottom line, Kelly said, we trust that the local school district's parents know what they're doing. You've told us so. So now, use this money with no excuses. The decisions are up to you. As they move on, they're down to roughly what appears to be only 30% of the school aid budget left to be resolved. Kelly said, I think together we can get something accomplished for the people and the students of Michigan before the July 1st deadline. It might be a week later, but that's his plans. That's what he's shooting for. Well, the outgoing Michigan Department of Education State Superintendent Michael Rice said yesterday that using the House Republicans' block grant approach to the K-12 budget doesn't work for one particular segment of education. Career and Technological Education, CTE, prepares students for high wage and high skilled careers. Adding the funding for the programs into the per pupil funding would force CTE and various other programs to compete for the funding against the local school districts. So we'll see where this goes. July 1st, a week from Tuesday, is the deadline. We'll see what happens. Short break, word from our sponsors. We'll be right back.
Trucker Randy here. Let's face it, we're all getting older, but we don't have to feel the pains of getting older. Most people and even our pets have daily pain. Don't let pain slow you down. Get natural relief with CBD products from Patriots Relief. Designed by nature and trusted by millions, CBD synergistically works with your body to naturally relieve pain along with many other benefits. CBD is not marijuana and you will not get high. Vicky and I trust Patriots Relief products because they truly work. Go to their website, patriotsrelief.com, then call Tim and his family at 877-230-1776. Mention the promo code TR1 to get the biggest discounts. Again, call 877-230-1776 and mention TR1. patriotsrelief.com.
Antrim County Conservative Union's 6th Annual Fun Shoot and Pig Roast, Saturday, July 19th from noon till 4 p.m. in Central Lake, Michigan. Come join us. Bring your firearms and ammo as the safety gun ranges will be open. They will be serving an iron pig smoked pulled pork dinner with all the fixings, including Trucker Randy's world-famous carrot cake. Check out all the details and make a donation for your tickets at their website, acconservatives.org, or call 231-420-8320. See you there!
At Royal Tire in Petoskey, we know that you've got things to do and places to go. And you need safe and reliable tires that will get you there and back every time. Tires like the Michelin Defender LTX or the Michelin Cross Climate 2. We believe in these tires so much, we put them on our own vehicles. So stop by Royal Tire today and let our tire experts find the right Michelin tire to keep you and your family safe. When you think tires, think Royal Tire in Petoskey.
Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. SlimFast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back, plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of My Pure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com. Follow my journey with Missy and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
Everybody, welcome back into the show. Second segment of hour number two. Joining us on the line right now is Jonathan Deek. He is the founder of Institute for Family Justice. We're going to have a conversation with him about family court, friend of the court, divorces, children, things like that. Good morning, Jonathan.
Good day, Randy.
Hey, I ask you if you can move the mic just a little bit closer to your mouth. Want to make sure I can hear you okay. Yeah, that's better. Thank you very much. Jonathan, you and I had a conversation with Rick Randall yesterday. I was over at his chiropractic office in Torchport, and you were doing some remote work for him on his computer. And conversations were ongoing as you were going through various programs and looking at different things, making changes on his computer there. But you were talking with him about your mission and what you're planning to do. For those who have not heard you explain this before, explain to the audience what the Institute for Family Justice is, as far as the tax status of it, and also what you're hoping to accomplish. What are your three steps you're planning? What are you working on?
Absolutely. So we are a Michigan nonprofit corporation. We registered in the state of Michigan the end of last year. We're currently working with the IRS to get our determination letter to become a federally recognized nonprofit organization. And what we're that's just a matter of time from what I'm told. They have a backlog because the IRS is still using Stone Age equipment in the modern era.
Sure.
They only fax stuff. When I wanted to get some paperwork for them, they couldn't even email it. They had to fax me, and then they had to wait for the fax line to be open. I was flabbergasted about all the wasted resources at the IRS. But anyways, regardless of that, what we're doing is we provide support for parents going through family court and separation so that we can help make sure that the rights of children to have a meaningful relationship with their parents are enforced, right? And by doing that, we're putting together model motions for specific issues we see as fundamental issues with the family court. And then we're going to be providing pro bono, which means free of charge, no strings attached, appellate representation for these issues so that we can be taking these issues to the appellate courts and to the Supreme Court, ideally, so that we can create case law, which will be the supreme law of the land, which will bind every state to enforcing these parental rights. And in my opinion, that's better than going to the legislature, because the legislature is a popularity contest. And we all know the Constitution enforces restrictions on the government such that we're allowed to have relationships with our children. That is the most fundamental liberty interest anybody could have next to their life, would be their children. And so we believe that we will take these cases to the Supreme Court in such a way that the Supreme Court will agree with us and say, absolutely, you have a fundamental liberty interest in the care, custody, and control of your children. And the courts have to safeguard these rights by changing the way that they operate. And the most important thing we're looking to litigate is the right to representation. A child should not lose access to a loving, good parent just because they couldn't keep up with all the legal fees that this system creates. And so that's the number one most important thing we're looking to litigate, is to restore or slash enforce the right to representation in any case in which a child is going to be deprived of less than 50-50 access to both parents.
Now, on that point, hold that thought for 1 second. Because on that point, in the criminal legal system, where you're charged with a crime, you're guaranteed representation, when they read you your rights, if you can't afford an attorney, one will be provided to you. This is automatically part of our criminal justice system. So what you're saying is, from the family court system, divorce causes havoc in the family. Finances are always strained when it goes through a divorce process. And in that process of the divorce has to do with the custody and support of the children. The family's being divided. Mom and dad are no longer living together. They're being separated, having to pay for two households. So now things get very interesting. And then the decision has to be made, okay, who gets custody of the children? What's the visitation rights of the non-custodial parent? And who is obligated to pay who for child support, for feeding and taking care, educating the kids? So what you're saying, this current family court system doesn't automatically provide for legal defense or representation in the court, you're basically going there trying to represent yourself. Is that an accurate statement?
A lot of times parents are forced to represent themselves because they can't keep up with the exorbitant legal fees that happen out of this. And so what I'm saying is I believe that the courts, whether they currently acknowledge it or not, are saying that they're charging you of the crime, accusing you of the crime of not being a perfect parent. And because you're not perfect enough, because you've done these actions, which we deem not to be as perfect as the other parent, your criminal punishment is the loss of access to your children. And then the forced fines of paying the other party to raise your children for you.
Got it. So that is the basis of which all this started. And then you have a second phase that you're looking at regarding the Institute for Family Justice. Explain that part of it.
Yeah, phase two is where, for these different issues we're looking at, where we see the fundamental pitfalls in the way the family court currently operates, is we put together test motions to be argued in the local trial courts. You know, and so these motions are well put together with memorandums of law in support of the motion to enforce these rights, and so we distribute those to parents so that they could work with their attorney or themselves, if they have to represent themselves, to put these motions on record, make the argument, and then, you know, ideally they'll win, but, you know, most likely they won't, and that's where we want to pick up the appellate representation for them.
And so in the event they lose, they're not successful representing themselves, even though, you know, they present information that you help them find, they end up losing. That, according to you and your plan, allows you guys the opportunity then to appeal that decision to a higher court.
As long as the record's been made appropriately and the person has filed the appropriate objections and there's an appealable issue, that's where we want to step in and doing the appeals.
Got it. Okay, very good. Then lastly, there's a component to this that requires attorneys to actually appear in front of the appellate courts. This isn't something parents necessarily could do on their own, even though legally I guess they could, but it would be better if they were represented by counsel. Explain that part of it.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't ever recommend a parent do this on their own. Number one, they're going through the worst thing a parent will ever have to go through in their lives, the loss of a child that's still alive. There's nothing more grievous, nothing more painful than mourning the loss of a child that's just right there that the government is in the way of, or the other parent is using government to separate them from that child. It's like a fresh kidnapping every day. And so not only are they going through this type of emotional trauma, which is considered an acquired brain injury. These type of injuries show up on scans of the brain. This causes physical damage to people. And then, if they don't have the money to pay for an attorney to do it for them, they're forced to learn the most complex system in history, trying to navigate the legal system, where commas can cost billions of dollars. You know, if you don't use the right words in the right way to litigate effectively, you don't have a chance. And so not only are they going through mental issues, but physical issues due to the acquired brain injuries, but then they're being forced to learn the most complex system on the face of the earth all at the same time. It's they're set up for failure. Only a very few can actually make it through. It's a very, very difficult system.
So then that means that you have to hire these attorneys to be able to appeal these cases, ultimately with the goal, like you say, is to change the laws or basically force the United States Supreme Court, once it's taken all the way there, to basically understand the case and say, okay, family court people that are involved in these type of legal disputes must be given representation. They have to have the way to have representation in court and be able to do this with an attorney. And if one, you can't afford an attorney, one will be provided to you. That's ultimately the bottom line, correct?
That is the most important thing that we're looking at litigating. There's several other things, but that is the absolute most important. Not only do you lose the loss of your child, right? But in a lot of cases, they will want to convert the civil case to a criminal one. Because let's say you lose access to your child, and then you're forced to pay child support and you weren't able to make a good record because you did it on your own and you didn't know the system, well, they'll want to take that civil order and then they will attach criminal penalties to it. In the state of Michigan, if you don't pay your alimony on time, if you don't pay your child support on time, that is a felony, right? And so they will take this civil case and they will convert it to a criminal one with penalties. So they're calling it a civil matter, but it has criminal penalties attached to it.
Unbelievable. Well, the bottom line is because of the way you set this up as a nonprofit, waiting to get your tax deductible status from the IRS, you need to raise money. Explain what the mission is as far as why, how much, and what do you plan to do with the money?
Yes. So according to IRS, I'm all ready to solicit donations because I have it while waiting on the determination letter. And so what I'm doing is I'm raising my milestone is $10 million. I'm raising $10 million to put into a trust fund where only the interest from this money will be spent. Once I get the $10 million, that gives me about $500,000 a year in interest at hedging for inflation, but spendable interest that I'm going to use to fund this law firm. Once I get it funded at that level, this will last forever. And so we will have attorneys just sitting around waiting to take cases to make sure that the rights of children are restored and enforced forever.
And in that process, because it's a trust, it can't be spent or used on any other things. The interest it generates will basically provide the money to hire these attorneys to get this done and to be able to take this case, ultimately, whichever case it ends up being, all the way to the United States Supreme Court through all the different appeals courts, through the states, and getting ultimately to the United States Supreme Court.
Yes, that is the goal. That is the mission that will happen. I just got some more people committed just yesterday. I've got a few more people on the team helping me organize fundraisers, so we're well on our way there, you know. And so that is the goal, is to have about, just the entry level one will be about a $50,000 a month operating budget, which will allow us to get a facility. I'll start putting out advertisements to hire the lawyers. We'll hire the lawyers, and then I'm already in support groups with all kinds of patients, parents all over the nation, and we will be looking for the best ones with the best cases, and we're going to step in there and we're going to start litigating. You know, we're going to set these cases up for appeal, and we're going to file these appeals, and we will be taking cases to the Supreme Court every day of the week.
Wow. Big goal, big mission. You've got this outlined and all, you know, documented on the website. If you folks want to look at it, all you have to do is text me family. And I'll send you the website. Very simple. I for Institute, the number 4, FJ. InstituteForFamilyJustice.com is the website. When you get there, you'll see that right there at the top, there's a phone number if you want to get a hold of Jonathan, 231-330-6825. You can email him at info@I4FJ.com. The donations, if you want to mail him a check, P.O. Box 555, Wolverine, Michigan, zip code 49799. Just make the check out to the Institute for Family Justice. Mail them a check. Gladly accept your money. Jonathan, about 30 seconds left. What would you like to offer as final thoughts for today?
So we do actually take donations by ACH and by credit cards. So if you go to i4fj.com/donate, there's a donate platform there. You could pay with credit card. You could do like a monthly giving, you know, even just $5 a month, you know, and just put it in there and just get the subscription going. Every little bit will help. Thank you. Very good. I love you.
All right. Thank you, Jonathan. Greatly appreciate it. Good information. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks. Bye.
Bottom of the hour news break of hour number 2. We'll be right back.
This is Michigan News Source.